Good morning. It's so such a pleasure to be coming to you this spring morning and sharing God's word with you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you today. God is so good. We're in a new series called A Royal Priesthood, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But last week we talked about the priesthood in Scripture, and this week I'm going to talk about the priesthood in prayer. But before I do, I want to share with you a little resource here with you. It's called Growing at Home, a Beginner's Guide to Family Discipleship by Winfield Bevins. And you can pick this up on at Amazon.com or Seedbed. And it's just a wonderful little book to help you with family devotions. And A Beginner's Guide to Family Discipleship, Grow at Home by Winfield Bevins. And such a powerful little book. It's also on our Facebook page. About a year back, I posted this, but such a powerful little book for families with children in the home. Some of the chapter titles: A Parent's Responsibility, Rediscovering Family Worship, Reading the Bible as Family, Teaching Children Truths Through Catechism. Really, that's question and answer. That's what catechism is, question and answer style teaching. Cultivating character through the fruits of the Spirit, learning to pray the Lord's Prayer, becoming a missional family, following Jesus through the church year, and introducing your children to Jesus. And I highly recommend this book, Grow at Home. It's a powerful little book to help you do what we're doing right now, worshiping in homes. And I want to read to you a scripture this morning about the priesthood of all believers. It's kind of the key passage for our study, 1 Peter 2:5-9. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You've been called to share with others the goodness of God. God really is good, and he loves you. And we're making a shift in this season. We're making a shift. We're moving away from a feeding paradigm of ministry to an equipping posture, from where in these messages we simply feed you, but rather we want to equip you to minister to those who are in your sphere of influence, to minister to the people that you're around in this time of social distancing. And so I'm here this morning to equip you to do what I do. And typically, I would focus on just delivering the word that God had given me, but I want to equip you to get a word from God and minister to those around you. I want to equip you to minister to your family, to your friends, to those you're seeing. So what does a priest do? What do those in ministry do? That's the question. And I want to equip you this morning to teach and encourage your friends and family, to intercede for them, to lead them into God's presence and worship, to seek the Lord's guidance on their behalf, and most of all, to minister, which means to serve. You know, that's what a priest does. It's what a minister does, is to serve. And we want to equip you today and help you as you do that. I know you're already doing that, but I want to help you just to know your ministry is important, and maybe there's things you can glean here today to make your ministry more significant. I want to speak to the kids. Your ministry is important, and the things that you're doing, how you're praying and how you're ministering to others. Youth and kids, you're so important in God's kingdom. You know, God is with you and he's using you. And prayer is what I wanted to share today, the priesthood and prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1-3, says this, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. And so God encourages us as believers, as priests, to pray, to be a people of prayer. And so I want to challenge you in this time, you know, pray like never before. God's with you and he's answering prayers. In our little church community, we saw two things happen this past week that I believe are borderline miraculous. And so I want to encourage you, your prayers matter. We are seeing things. I can't share this in this public setting without permission, so I won't do that right now. But we had two really awesome things happen in our community this week because people are praying. And I want you to know people are praying for you. Our leadership team divided up all the names from our church, and our leadership team is lifting you up in prayer each day. And they're believing God for you and for breakthrough for you and your family. Becca and I are praying for you each day in our family. So you're prayed for, and I want to encourage you to pray for others. You know, we had an awesome time of prayer this past Wednesday at 6:30. Where I believe people in our fellowship stopped all over this area and prayed at 6:30 on Wednesday night. I got a lot of good feedback about how God showed up in homes. And I'm going to do that again this Wednesday at 6:30. So I invite you to be a part. Real simply, just gather your family and pray. Doesn't have to be a long time, but pray for those needs. If you're looking to know what to pray for, last week on Facebook, I posted a prayer list that we used that last week. I'm going to use that same prayer list this week. And pray again. Prayer is so important. It's our privilege as priests of God, a royal priesthood, to be prayer warriors and to pray for all people. And so the word priest in the Old Testament means a minister, a personal attendant, an officer, the Lord's personal attendant, one whose entire life revolved around Yahweh's service. That's a priest, both through ministering in the tabernacle or temple and in carrying the burdens of the people of Israel. That's what a priest in the Old Testament did. And they were a special class devoted to God's service, who also represented the people before God. So that's a good definition for us to work with of what a priest does. And God says, you're invited. You're invited to be part of the priesthood of all believers, to minister to others, to pray. One of the most powerful functions of a priest is to pray, to come before God. And God would say to you this morning, you're invited to my throne. You're invited to pray at the throne of grace. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says this. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. There we will receive his mercy, and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. So we've been invited to God's throne of grace, and we can go there with boldness because of what Jesus has done on the cross. He died in our place. He died on the cross to set us free from our sins. He died on the cross to take our sins upon himself and to give us his righteousness, to give us his holiness. Because of what Jesus has done, his blood has made us clean, and we can go to God the Father's throne and receive grace and the ability to pray with boldness before his throne because he loves us and he's for us. You know, I read a study this past week from 2010. It was the findings from the Baylor religion study. It was a massive study of the religious views of Americans. And it was such a large study that they believe that it's an indicator of how all Americans would respond to this study. You can look at it from the Baylor Religion Study in 2010, but they found something from the research from this study. If you have a view of God as a God of love, prayer is more important to you. Now that seems like a very, very simple truth, but it's been noted. You know, it's been noted through this survey and through the statistics as they studied the results of this survey. If you have a view of God as a God of love, prayer is more important to you. You pray more consistently, you pray more frequently, and you pray with a greater level of faith. And not only that, you practice prayer over the longevity of your life. And so that's a very important truth, that if you view God as a God of love, you're going to pray more. You're going to pray with more faith. You're going to come to God more regularly. Prayer is going to be such a part of your life. It's going to just continue with you for the rest of your life if you have a picture of God as a God of love. And He is a God of love. And He's a God of love who says that in His very nature, He's love. And so I want to challenge you with that truth. If you have that theology that God is love, then that's so important. It's going to fuel your prayer life. You're going to want to come close to Abba. You're going to want to come close to Abba and to pray and to worship. And so it's important. As A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about God is what you think about Him. You know, what you believe. The most important thing about you is what you believe about God. That's what he said. The most important thing about you is what you believe about God. Do you believe that God is a God of love? And if so, your prayer life is going to go through the roof. Because you know God wants to be with you. God wants to hear your prayers. God is for you. And so it's very important that we have right theology that God is a God of love and He cares about us and He's for us and He's for you. You know, that's a very important truth that in that same study, they saw the huge number of Americans who pray. And not only just pray once or twice, but pray throughout life, which means there's a common belief, this phenomenon of that Americans believe it works. Why else would they keep praying throughout their life? And so there is a seed of faith in America. And I'm believing that God's bringing revival. And this time, America's going to see revival as we pray. There is a fresh anointing to pray right now. As we're locked up in homes, as we're practicing social distancing, there is such an anointing right now on the church to pray like never before. And I want to challenge you, if you're not praying, you're missing it. Now's the time to pray. And God's moving. He's doing special things. We're seeing it. And so I want to challenge you to pray. One of the best pieces of advice that I've received over the years about being a minister is this truth. Before you talk to people about God, talk to God about people. And so that, if I could tell you one thing about ministry, equipping you to minister in your home, equipping you to do ministry in your sphere of influence, wherever you are, the people that you're seeing, we're switching from a feeding model to an equipping model. And even if it's just one person that you're seeing or two people that you're seeing, you know, or people that you're talking to on the phone or interacting with, one thing that could really help you in ministry is talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Pray for the people that you're ministering to. Pray for your conversations. Pray for your time together. And it's so important. Watch your priestly effectiveness skyrocket as you do that simple little thing that each of us can do. Another thing I want to share with you today is keep a prayer list. It helps you to stay on track. It keeps you efficient in your prayers. It keeps your time from wandering. You know, keep a prayer list so that you know that you're diligent to cover all those people that are dear to you in prayer. All those people God has called you to in this season. You know, who are you seeing, interacting with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? Become their intercessor. You know, become their intercessor and their prayer warrior. And again, you're being covered. We're praying for you by name. Our lead team's praying for you by name. And now is a great time to to be a priest of intercession for those in your family and in your sphere of influence. And I want to encourage you today, be bold. You know, don't be afraid. God is for you. He's with you in this time. He cares. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What a powerful truth. I want to read that to you. Just practice the things that are in this verse, and peace will come. And you'll find great effectiveness as a priest. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. You know, thank Him. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, true prayer, and this is so important, it's not just bringing a list before God, even though that's important. You know, and that's diligence and that's faith. And it's so important. But true prayer is also a dialogue. It's letting God speak to you. And His favorite way to speak to you is through His Word. You know, just allow Him to speak to you through His Word. And to consider when you open this book that it's God speaking to you. And it's so true. He's given you this book to speak to you. But He'll also speak to your heart. He'll lead you. I love the life of David, reading the life of David and seeing how often he inquired of the Lord. He was always asking the Lord, what should I do? Where do I go? Where do I turn? What's the solution? How do we solve this problem? Where do we go from here? And I love David's heart to inquire of God, seeking His leading. I also love a missionary from Baltimore area who was a missionary to India for much of his life, E. Stanley Jones, and he was a man of faith, and he had a practice, and he called it the listening post. And each morning, he would go out in the backyard of the missionary base there, and he would walk the backyard, and he would ask God, what would you like to speak to me today? And he would ask God, what would you like me to do today? And he called that his listening post. And that listening post produced one of the most fruitful ministries in the history of the church. What would you like to speak to me today, Lord? To quiet our hearts in those moments. And as Lauren Cunningham would say, you know, two ways you can hear better is, you know, God, let me hear your voice. Come and speak to me. Let it be you and not me and my preconceived ideas. And let it be you and not the enemy's lies. And so I just pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to me. And E. Stanley Jones, he did the similar thing. What would you like to speak to me today? What would you like to say to me, Lord? Or Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What would you like to say to me today, Lord? What would you like me to do today? You know, in terms of seeking God's heart for others in prayer, you know, in that time of prayer, as you're praying for your loved ones, as you're praying for your children, as you're praying for your parents, as you're praying for your spouse and your friends, you know, a great way to pray is just to single a person out and pray for them and lift them up. And to ask God two questions. The first question is, ask God, what do you love about that person, Lord? You know, what do you love about them? And just to listen with your heart. Lord, what do you love about that person? And number two, what would you like me to tell that person? What would you like me to tell that person? And you can do that through text, through email. You can do that in person. But man, those are the things that really encourage people. You know, a message from God that was sought in prayer and love. What do you love about that person, Lord? And what would you like me to tell that person? And then share it from a posture of love. Share it in a loving manner, because God is love, and you know love is at the heart of whatever he has to say. And so that is not what I'm sharing with you this morning. These truths, they're not of a feeding posture. They're of an equipping posture. They're equipping you to be a priest and to minister in your home. That's what we're hoping to do, is just to equip you to minister to others. And others are going to minister to you. And God is with you. He's ministering to you. And Jesus is our great high priest. He is committed to you. And his ministry is for you. Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. That's who he is. And let us draw near to him in this time. Get so close to him. This is a time for getting close to God. And I want to say this to you. Jesus has prayed for you in the past. Just read John 17. Jesus has prayed for you in the past, and he is praying for you now. And that should bring you great hope and great courage. Jesus, the great high priest, is praying for you now. That's such a powerful thing. Scripture tells us that he ever lives to make intercession. To make intercession for you and for me. He cares about us and he won't stop. Jesus is a high priest of prayer, and he won't stop. He's going to keep on praying, and his prayers will never stop. You know, he is the great high priest of prayer, and he wants his Father's house to be a house of prayer, and he wants your house to be a house of prayer. So I want to leave you with this verse, 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Let's show others the goodness of God. That's our privilege and our calling. I want to pray this prayer. If you'd like to receive Jesus today, he died for you. He loves you more than anyone. And he's been wooing you. He's been drawing you to himself. He's been trying to get you to consider him and consider his message. And the scriptures say, but to all who received him, you know, to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. You're invited into the family of God. And you come in this way. Everyone comes in this way by saying, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I've sinned. Would you wash away my sins? I want to follow you. I give you the rest of my life. And would you fill me with your Holy Spirit?" And if you just say those simple things in the privacy of your heart, you know, that's how you become a child of God. And so I challenge you to do that and to go after this message and just to bow before the Lord and quietly say, "Lord, I want to receive you. I want to give you my life. I need your forgiveness, and I need your power and your friendship. I need your help. I need your love. And would you come into my life?" And when you do that in sincerity, you know, God says you're brought into the family. You're born anew into the family of God, and all the angels rejoice. And so I challenge you to do that today. And after this video, just take a few moments and pray and be silent in God's presence and just thank him. And just to consider his great love and his heart for you and how near he really is. His tender ministry towards you, his kindness towards you, his love. He really is a God of love, and he wants you to come near and to be a person of prayer. He's for you. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, Lord. We know that you're for us, God. We know that you're fighting on our behalf. Lord, we know that you care. God, we choose to believe your word today and not to worry, but to pray instead. And God, we just ask for breakthrough in our nation. Lord, we pray for healing for all those who are struggling with this virus. We ask for healing. We pray that you would eradicate it from our land. God, we pray for protection for your people, for frontline workers, for everyone, God. And God, we pray that every person would consider you afresh today and that you would bring revival to our nation, that we would see our desperate need for you and that we would turn to you in this time. And God, we pray for the world, Lord, for breakthrough in the world, for encouragement. And God, I pray for the people of Hope Springs today that they would be overjoyed that the God of love is with them and that the God of love has given his life for them. And Lord, I pray for Hope Springs, the people of Hope Springs, to be just encouraged today with that fruit of the Spirit of joy. And we thank you, God, for your power and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.